News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Good morning, good morning. Hey,
good morning.
This thing's working today.
Just slammed on my headphones.
Can you imagine? And welcome to the El Paso History Radio Show. We are the place to learn about El Paso history, because you didn't learn it in school.
That's
if you
right.
went to public school here, that's for darn sure. I'm an example of that. But anyway, we are the crowd that says Texas history begins in El Paso, and good morning, Melissa. It says so right here.
Good morning, Jackson. That's what it says.
No, it
there.
Doesn't. It says howdy, et cetera.
Oh, howdy. Well, I got tired of
whatever.
Howdy.
Whatever. So another radio show on KTSM AM 690, and people can find us streaming live on the internet. How do they do that?
They can go to ktsmradio.com or go to the iHeartRadio link, and they can download those links to their smartphone, tablet, or computer, and you can listen to us anywhere you go.
I've decided to push Pepe's because they need some help, and they're good people, and they got good food. And the last couple of weeks, I've sent stuff across the country. It worked out well. You can do that too. I sent a box to Pennsylvania last week, and one of our radio listeners was happy to get it. So you can call up Pepe, get your credit card out, or go in there and send a real Tex-Mex dinner to a friend or relative. Think about that.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. You can send me some. How's that?
I'll send you some today.
You won't even need to put ice.
I'll give you a bowl of chips today.
Ooh, all right.
You're going to Pepe's?
I'm going to Pepe's.
Same here. Okay. Your next line is don't forget.
MissionDelRay.com, because they've got some great things going on. We want you to definitely get over there to MissionDelRay.com and check out. When you're checking out from your online order, if you use history in the promo code, you will save an additional $20. So that's 20 more bucks to spend.
And we'll talk later about how you can actually go in there.
Yeah, yeah. And Christmas is coming, so get your shopping done now. They got some great sales going
on. They do. And you got a history moment all ready to go?
Yes, I did. It's about kids hanging out in trees in 1930.
Oh, why not?
That's it.
All right, today we're going to feature the Church of St. Clement on Montana Avenue in central El Paso. It turns 150 years old, I think, tomorrow. We'll ask one of our guests. The history of El Paso and this church are intertwined on many levels.
Oh, my gosh,
church members will be on the show this morning and portray some historic figures from the church's past. And we welcome church member Karen Hoover. Good morning, Karen. How's it going?
Good morning, Jackson.
Good morning.
Good morning, listeners.
Good morning,
How are
Karen.
Going for you?
Well, we have you here this morning as Karen, but you're also going to talk to us as an historic figure, are you not?
I certainly am. We expect her. It's a surprise.
Go for it.
Okay. Good morning, Jackson and listeners. Thank you for tuning in as we share the lively and dynamic history of St. Clement's Church, which is 150 years old this October the 9th, 2020. St. Clement's is located at 810 North Campbell, and call at 915-533-4915. Services are 5 p.m. Saturdays, 8:30 and 10:45 Sundays, with the Spanish services at 10:45 as well. I'm Karen Hoover, and today for your historical tour, we've asked Frances Helen Corey Clark, wife of Gaylord Judd Clark, founder of St. Clement's, to guide you. Jackson, I see Mrs. Clark making her way down the hall. Shall I describe her for you?
Oh, yeah. What's she look like?
Okay. She's a small woman with her dark hair pulled back, wearing a lovely cross, and a long, shimmering periwinkle blue dress, which is topped with a white jacket decorated with periwinkle blue flowers at the front. She's wearing little blue boots to walk the dusty, muddy streets. Mrs. Clark, now I will turn my listeners over to you. Greetings, Karen. Grace and peace to you and the dear ones that are listening, waiting for our flight back in time. I am Frances Helen Corey Clark, who named St. Clement's and was a pioneer in education in your town of El Paso beginning in 1867. I was born in Whipple City, now known as Greenwich, New York, on June the 14th, 1836, the same year as my husband, Gaylord. My father, the Honorable Alan Corey, was of Scotch-Irish descent, and a Quaker English mother, Anne Whipple, a descendant of William Whipple, who signed the Declaration of Independence and was a member of the Continental Congress. Gaylord and I were married for 11 years after his death, and we had four children, Anna, Rhonda Reed, Gaylord Jr., and Clement. Only Anna survived. I assumed control of Arabella Reed School in El Paso in the spring of 1867. As we fly back, let me describe El Paso to you in the late 1860s. There wasn't a railroad or telegraph station within 1,000 miles. Our dear friend W.W. Mills, El Paso pioneer, wrote in his book, 40 Years at El Paso, "At one time, there were more people buried there in the Sunset Heights Cemetery who had died by violence than from all other causes. When I state that the writer of these pages sometimes read the burial service there over the remains of our departed countrymen, it may be imagined how sadly we were in need of spiritual guidance. Every citizen, whatever his age or calling, habitually carried a six-shooter at his belt and slept with it under his pillow. Is violence an anxious concern in your world today, Karen?" So there was a deep need in El Paso for God to step in, and so he did. We were brought to El Paso by W.W. Mills, an old-school friend of Gaylord's, and Gaylord was appointed district judge for El Paso in 1870. Feeling the need for spiritual guidance in this town, Clark, who was Anglican, read rites and homilies in his own home for family and friends on Sundays. His letters were intercepted, read, and destroyed at Uncle Ben Dow's saloon and post office, which made exposing corruption very difficult. Elections were dirty. The spiritual need expressed by W.W. Mills was partially answered by my husband Gaylord's home services, but it wasn't enough. Gaylord Clark and Albert Fountain rode to Austin, a very long and hard trip, to invite the chaplain of the Texas Senate, Reverend Joseph Wilkins Hayes, to take the gospel to a new country where there had never been a Protestant service. Hayes arrived in El Paso and had the first service on October 9, 1870. Then on December 7, 1870, that same year, Gaylord, my husband, was unarmed and gunned down by B.F. Williams, a local lawyer who was jealous of Gaylord Clark and angry with Albert Fountain. As ever yours, dear one, in Jesus Christ. Now I'd like to have the Reverend Joseph Wilkins Tay say a few words about the history of St. Clement's for us.
My name is the Reverend Joseph Wilkins Tays. No, I am not here to be the new associate pastor of St. Clement's Church. Again, I'm representing this morning the first missionary priest of St. Clement's Church, Joseph Wilkins Tays. I was known to my congregation in the small community of El Paso as Parson Tays, or at least that's the name Ron Thompson and Bill Wade gave me when we first met. I love them both. I'm originally from Nova Scotia, but moved to Texas with my brothers who were Texas Rangers. This was all after the Civil War, of course, around 1867, when I was serving as a new roving priest in Bryan, Matagorda, Columbus, and Indianola, Texas. Unfortunately, it was around this time that my 24-year-old wife, Jeremiah, and our youngest son caught yellow fever and sadly passed away. After this, I was appointed chaplain to the Texas Senate under E.J. Davis, which provided me with a new focus at the time. But shortly after that new appointment, Judge Clark and Albert Fountain presented me with the challenge of bringing to the few people in El Paso the church's ministrations. Early in September 1870, me and my two boys, Eugene and Joseph, aged 9 and 7, started our trek from Austin to El Paso. It was a journey of over 500 miles that took us 1 month to accomplish. But know this, I won't judge you the next time you complain about having a connecting flight from Austin to El Paso. After we arrived in El Paso, we moved into an adobe structure and set up the corner room as our temporary quarters. The larger room at the rear was arranged as a chapel, which was about 14 by 30 feet. And in the east end was a square window about 4 feet from the floor. This window was covered with a canvas screen on which Senator Fountain painted a large shaded cross. In front of this screen, an altar was built, and the rest of the area was taken up with rough benches to seat a congregation. I conducted El Paso's first Protestant church service on October 9, 1870. By January of 1871, I hired Giron to cast a copper bell that not only called the faithful to services, but also alerted the town to fires and other urgent situations. That same bell sits in the narthex of the church and still has bullet marks from rowdy citizens using it as target practice. Over time, our congregation grew to about 75 people in El Paso, but this number dwindled when the railroad construction came to a halt. In 1873, I married again to Sarah Perkins, but we found it necessary to leave the area in December of 1875 in a train of 12 prairie schooners. At the time, I was recorded saying, "I trust that my prayers for this place and people will sometime be answered, and that this spiritual wilderness will yet blossom as a rose." 5 years later, on September 1880, tragedy struck again as Mrs. Perkins Taze died in New York, leaving me and my sons alone once again. In the fall of 1881, I married a third time to Miss Viola Kimball. The railroads finally arrived in El Paso in 1881. Never forgetting the call by God to minister in the West, I returned to the border and bought land on Mesa Avenue, which was then called Utah Street, and built with my own hands and resources a church and rectory. The cornerstone of the new church was laid December 25th, 1881, and the church seated 150 people. The first service was conducted on February 12th, 1882. In those days, I wasn't paid much by the mission board, so to supplement my income, I became a county surveyor for El Paso, Pecos, and Presidio counties, using my education in civil engineering from King's College. In 1884, after conducting a funeral service for a victim of smallpox, I was afflicted with fever and was attended by Dr. Justice and Mrs. Taze. My son Joseph, on doctor's orders, gave me a hot bath, and the next day I broke out with black smallpox and passed away. My last words were, "There is a change taking place." Now, the Reverend Taze was buried in the Mundy lot at Concordia Cemetery in a rush during a violent thunderstorm without a service. A week later, Bishop Elliott arrived to conduct Reverend Taze's funeral, where the church overflowed with mourners. His marker in Concordia Cemetery reads, "The memory of the just is blessed." As you all can tell from the story, Taze was a man of tremendous energy and spiritual force, a natural leader of men. He helped and encouraged anyone, no matter what their race or creed was. He tended the sick and dying on both sides of the border. He was greatly beloved by all in this little frontier town. He even took part in the affairs of the city, and Taze Street in downtown El Paso is named after him. He is the second man who is honored by a bronze plaque above the main altar on the right of the Good Shepherd window. The inscription reads, "For Reverend Joseph Wilkin Taze, Pioneer." The other plaque honors Judge Gaylord Clark, who was introduced last week. These founders of our church are incredible examples to us of commitment, sacrifice, and perseverance as they forged their way into a desert wilderness to establish God's light in an often violent and lawless Wild West. Thank you.
There you have it. That gentleman was the parson, Joseph Wilkin Taze. And Karen, what name is he also known as?
My goodness.
Joseph,
parson Taze.
Joseph Gaynor, was it not?
Oh, yeah, of course. Joseph Gaynor was the one that was giving the presentation.
And is he
unfortunately, he's had to move on to another city to take another job, but he's a tremendous young man.
Well, also, the Reverend Taze obviously moved on. He got the black plague and died. I mean, he's in Concordia. Yikes.
Yes, I'm terribly sorry.
Oh,
yes,
stuff happened.
What a terrible end.
Karen Hoover, now you're a church member, and you've also, you have a history of working at UTEP and a few other places. And how did you guys come to decide to do these historic segments?
Jackson, about 2015, I began to get the feeling that I needed to study the early history of the church. So I went up to UTEP to the, you know, sixth floor with Claudia Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you know her.
Oh, yeah.
So she pointed out 40 years at El Paso to me by W.W. Mills, and I sat down and started reading, and it was just, it was electrifying. So then I decided, well, why don't we put some of these characters that are just so dynamic in costume to bring them to life for our congregation and to share the church? And I got a good response from our rector, Bill Cobb, and people seemed to be enthused with that. And we have a woman who is a costume maker at our church, so she jumped in and was thrilled to make costumes.
Oh, you're all set.
So it just
then.
Kind of took off, Jackson. And
sure.
Now, know, also, dynamic history here.
After our break,
W.W. Mills is an incredible character.
Well, that's what I was going to say. After this break, we got W.W. Mills coming up. We need him to call in. He's got the number, so if we can get him to do that. Well, Karen, we're going to put you on slight hold. You're welcome to come back with the W.W. Mills after the break. But we need to go to break.
You,
sure, indeed. Stick
thank
around.
You.
We're going to have, if you want an email to us, it's ephistory690@gmail.com. And we're also looking at Facebook, and that Facebook page is?
El Paso History Radio Show Facebook.
On Facebook.
That's right.
We shall see you right after the break.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
We all know the importance of voting, but you can't vote if you aren't registered. Check your registration status with Global Citizen and Headcount to make sure you're ready for this year's election. Visit globalcitizen.org/justvote to check your status and enter to win experiences with rewards from your favorite artists, such as an exclusive, never-before-seen performance with Dave Matthews, signed swag from Billie Eilish, a virtual hang with Lenny Kravitz, a Taylor Swift autographed guitar, and more. Visit globalcitizen.org/justvote to learn more and check your registration status today.
Man, these campaign ads are brutal.
Too many, huh?
Way too many. They just don't stop. I'll work with anyone. That's a bunch of bull.
Yep, I see them too.
Yeah. And did you know Social Torres Small's first vote in Congress was Nancy Pelosi for Speaker?
Wait, first vote?
Well, it makes sense. Social Torres Small votes with Pelosi 95% of the time.
95% with Pelosi? Holy.
Oh, yeah. And Torres Small votes 97% of the time with anti-oil and gas extremists.
Yeah, there goes your job.
And yours. And the kicker? The NRA gave Social Torres Small a D rating. She's bad on guns.
So Social Torres Small's bad on guns with the anti-oil and gas extremists and votes with Pelosi?
I'm telling you, her ads are full of bull.
Makes it pretty easy to vote no on Social Torres Small.
Mm-hmm.
Paid for by Congressional Leadership Fund and not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.congressionalleadershipfund.org. Congressional Leadership Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. I actually don't even think about food. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad is it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. The second month is where I saw a drastic change in the size of my stomach. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400. The safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're going to have WW Meals coming up here shortly. In the meantime, I've got to tell you about EPHistory690 at gmail.com. That's how you can get a hold of us, EPHistory690 at gmail.com. We are the El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. And also a TV channel we got there, YouTube, www.youtube. pick a number of W's. YouTube.com/El Paso History TV. Go there. We've got a bunch of our documentaries I've been making for 2 decades about El Paso. They are on there, and they're on a playlist. There's a second and a bunch of them on there, 12 of them, I think. And another playlist is with the ABC 7 pieces we did with Bernie Sargent, and they aired up until June of this year, youtube.com/El Paso History TV. Also, and you can subscribe to that for free. We have it. We caught another one. Leon Juan Espinosa came in on the 8th of October. Right. Bunch of people. We have several hundred people on there now. And also, just to let you know, you can hit the like button on Facebook and
like us.
Take a look at us on YouTube.
We know you like us.
Oh, like us.
Like us more.
And don't overdo this. Go ahead. What?
Okay. Well, I want you to get out, and I want you to take a walk, a hike, or a ride.
Thank
with
you.
The get out of here. Now, with the volunteers of Celebration of Our Mountains, they've got their head honcho over there, Jim Tolbert, who has a great fall 2020 schedule of hikes and outdoor adventures that will run through November. For example, tomorrow, Sunday, October 11th at 8 a.m., hike to the historic site of the B-36 crash. That's an amazing site.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
I said it. Craziness. Celebration of Our Mountains, of course, is and will abide by orders regarding masks and social distancing, and they have their own guidelines on carpools. So contact Mr. Jim Tolbert at 915-525-7364 or go to CELEBmountains.org or Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
Celebration of Our Mountains. It's a tough one.
And you know who to ask for.
San Diego. No, Diego.
Diego.
I always say San Diego.
No, whatever. Hey, we got Karen Hoover on. Karen, you sound like you're in a noisy place there. Are you in a shower? No.
No.
Okay, move to someplace, whatever you can. I hear an air conditioner in the background or something. But we're
really?
Yeah, we're going to have
interesting.
We're going to have
well,
you
sorry,
on it.
No,
it's all right. Just
looking
deal with
out
it.
Out on the lake here.
On the lake?
Where are you at?
We live in the Willows area.
Oh, that lake.
Oh, if you're outside, okay. Maybe we're getting outside noise. But we got to put on another guy on here. Now, this guy's coming on the radio, and it says here on my page, his name is W.W. Mills. Hey, W.W., how's it going? What's the history there? St. Clement's Church.
Hello, Jackson. This is W.W. Mills. I'm calling from Chihuahua, Mexico, where I am the American consul on this newfangled thing called a telephone. This is 1898, right?
It should be in your mind. Go ahead.
Well, I understand you want to hear some of the history of early El Paso and my part in bringing Gaylord Judd Clark to El Paso to help start St. Clement's Church. And I think I can back up some of the things that Mrs. Cooper were saying. Somehow or other, I got a radio before it was invented and got to listen to her program.
You guys are so clever.
So, when I first got to El Paso in 1857 or 1858, I was an oddball because I was a unionist, and so was all my family, Anson and Emmett, and most of the Anglo-Americans in El Paso were Confederates because they'd come from the South. But we all got along pretty well, except that it is true, everybody had to carry a six-shooter. One day, by accident, I left the house without my six-shooter on, and my friend Johnny Evans said to me, he said, W.W., don't you ever do that again. We don't always need it, but when we do need it, oh, God, do we need it. So don't ever leave your house without your six-shooter again. And so from that time on, I always wore my six-shooter. But I do have a couple of stories to let you know just exactly why you would need a six-shooter in El Paso back in them dar days. For instance, one time I was out walking around and we ran into this half-witted fellow named Garber who had a canoe that he used to take people across the river to Wattis. And he told us there was something that was going to happen that night in the post office. The post office was run by Uncle Ben Dowell, and he had a billiard table there. And we said, what's going to happen at the post office? Mr. Garber said, oh, they're going to be killing the Dutchman. And we thought, what?
They're going to do what to him?
They were going to kill a Dutchman.
Oh, I kill him. Oh, okay.
And so we went to the post office, went into the post office, and there was an unusual crowd of people there talking in low tones because apparently they'd got the word, too, there was going to be a killing in the post office. And there was Mr. Sam Schutz in his short sleeves playing billiards with a friend. And then walked in Tom Massey. And Tom Massey said, Mr. Schutz, you told a damn lie. And then he took out his pistol and cocked it. And Mr. Schutz grabbed the pistol and was wrestling with Mr. Massey and pointing the pistol up. And finally, he couldn't put it to bear on Mr. Schutz. And so Tom Massey took out a knife and stuck it in Mr. Schutz's shoulder. In the meantime, since I was new to town and I talked to the crowd, and which was watching it like they were watching a theatrical act, I said, gentlemen, would you see this man murdered? Not a man moved. Well, Mr. Schutz recovered from his knife wound, and Tom Massey took off out of town. But the next day, Uncle Ben Dowell gave me this advice. My young friend, when you see anything of this kind going on in El Paso, don't interfere. It is not considered good manners here.
Jeez.
So after that, I didn't interfere in any more gunfights. And then not long after this time, again in the post office, I guess he didn't go to the post office just to buy stamps. He went to the post office to right some wrongs.
Entertainment.
Unless you were one of the shooters or the shootee, I guess you were an entertainment.
Well, now, let me back up a second. You're W.W. Mills, and you had your uncle was Anson. Is that what you're telling me?
That's right. We came to El Paso together. Anson was a Union officer. He'd gone to West Point.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I was the one that got the appointment, but I gave it to Anson.
Oh, you can do that.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Well, now, so
yeah, I guess you could back then, and we came to El Paso together before the Civil War.
Now, you're part of the St. Clement's history. Was it you brought the Reverend to town? Is that what it is?
Nope, I didn't bring the Reverend. I bought my old college buddy, Gaylord Judd Clark, who was a very religious man.
Oh, okay.
And he was from New York. And he was, for some reason or other, he was in Nebraska territory. And he thought he had an opportunity in Nebraska to be something important. But it didn't work out, and he was destitute. And so he sent me a letter. We were very close in college. We were great friends. And he said he was destitute with his wife and family in Nebraska. So I sent him money to come to El Paso. And he came to El Paso, and being a very devout religious man that he was, and, you know, El Paso definitely needed some spiritual help, based on what I just told you, right?
And a year...
I got a lot of other stories, too.
No, we got to take a break here. But the thing is, you're talking in the year 1858, is that it?
No, this is after the Civil War.
We had
to wait till after the Civil War to invite Gaylord down.
Oh, I
see.
He was
a Yankee,
okay.
Like me.
Okay.
1868.
68, okay.
1867 was when I brought Gaylord and his beautiful wife down and the family.
All right, W.W., we're going to ask you to hold that thought if you want to come back as W.W. or find another person in history to become wear a different hat. It's up, entirely up to you. But we're going to take a break here and come back in a minute. We're asking people to give us an email if they wish on EP History 690 or on the Facebook page. You know, we might just throw that phone number out and see what happens. You ready?
Do we have a line open?
Yeah, yeah, we do have a line open.
It's 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
What does COVID-19 have to do with losing your home? Well, a lot. Cybercrime is up 75% since the virus hit us. Rudy Giuliani here, and if you own a home or property, look out for home title theft, one of the fastest growing crimes. The legal titles to all our homes are online now. All thieves have to do is forge your signature on a quitclaim deed stating you sold your home. Then they take out loan after loan on your home and leave you in debt. You won't know until late payment or eviction notices show up. Homeowners insurance doesn't cover you, and neither do common identity theft programs. That's why I protect my home with Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect tampering, they shut it down. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. Then use code Rudy for 30 free days of protection. I protect my home with Home Title Lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. That's code Rudy at HomeTitleLock.com.
Guys, you know that new Untuckit shirt you've been eyeing? Well, you can save 30% on everything site-wide and store-wide with Untuckit's fall sale event going on now. At Untuckit, we design shirts to be worn untucked. Our shirts are the perfect way to feel comfortable and look sharp. So the next time you have to roll out of bed and straight onto a Zoom call, reach for an Untuckit shirt instead. Remember to save 30% off during the fall event at Untuckit.com or your nearest Untuckit store. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polt.
Call this number for a good time in real estate, 588-1850. You like that?
I like
588-1850. You'll get the guy's pocket.
That's right.
Patrick Tuttle, good real estate dude. He has stuff for rent as well. At 588-1850. And you got Mission Del Rey going.
Yeah, Mission Del Rey, like I was saying earlier, is stocking up on Christmas sales with lots of new products arriving daily. And they also have a half-price sale now on select 5x7 woven blankets for just $29.99. And some great other items like a tiger stripe brindle, cow hides. They got purses, tool leather, you name it. They got all kinds of great stuff. In fact, I've got my purse, which is I bought from the Mission Del Rey.
Oh, cool.
And it's a Texas purse. And as for, you know, other great things, but remember when you're checking out, if you're shopping online only, You can get $20 additionally off if you put history in the promo code. So go to missiondelray.com and you can get the coupon there, or you can also call them at 915-440-2140, because I've got a great expanded new showroom that we'd love you to swing by there and see. It's off Lee Trevino and Pelicano.
All right, we got people on the line here from St. Clements. We also have a caller coming up, and we have Karen Hoover. Good morning again.
Morning.
And I think we have W.W. Mills or the Reverend John Dixon. I'm not sure. Who's that?
Yes, the Reverend John Dixon is the pastor of Rey de Paz, the Spanish community at St. Clement's Church.
And
he's been a missionary to Spain for a long time as well.
Is he here now, or did W. Mills go away?
There he is.
Okay.
I think W.W. has gone to his heavenly reward.
Well, that's probably a good idea. Also, we have a caller out of nowhere. His name is Manuel. We're going to put him on. Manuel, what's on your mind? You got a question about St. Clement's?
Hey, this is Manuel.
Yes.
I'm calling here from El Paso.
All right.
I have a question.
Sure.
I came to El Paso in 1950, and it used to be a wooden bridge between Juarez and El Paso.
Okay.
Oh. And I hear a little bit about the building of that bridge on the television. I only hear it because I'm a blind man.
Okay.
And I would like to know, I went to the Army and I never came back until the late 90s.
All right. Let's see what we can do to help you out with it. I'm going to thank you for the call, by the way. The idea that you're talking about here is the wooden bridge, I believe, was about 110 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was put in by Zach White and a few other people, and I think he actually owned the bridge for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that because he put the trolley company in play. And he was the guy that was instrumental in a lot of original El Paso stuff. So
you can actually see a piece of the bridge right at Sunset and Donovan Drive in the Upper Valley. There's a little white adobe building, and right up there you can see a piece of it because it was beautifully decorated and carved. It was
engraved,
gorgeous.
Engraved with little figures. And it's in that's a descendant of Zach White.
Yeah, it's one of the Zach White.
And that's his office, and that used to be one of the Zach White buildings.
But it's really cool.
It's up above the porch when you're looking for it.
He restored it, so it looks really, really great now.
Karen, I told you, we have phone calls coming from nowhere. You never can tell. But Karen Hoover and let's see, the Reverend John Dixon. What about this church? I looked up, and I think you should probably tell me, who was St. Clement? Let's start with that. How'd the church get the name?
Okay,
go ahead, John.
Do you want to answer that, Karen, or you want me to?
No, go ahead, sir. Go ahead, John.
Well, it comes from two sources. Clement was one of the early bishops or presbyters in the city of Rome, and apparently actually knew Peter and Paul. We have one letter written by him called First Clement, written around the year 100 A.D. So that's one reason why it's called the Church of St. Clement, but I think the real reason is Clement was the infant son of Gaylord and his wife that died as a baby. And so
that makes sense.
He has the name of an early bishop of the Christian Church. They thought it would be appropriate to call it St. Clement's Church.
Now, you put an S on it, St. Clement's. But the guy originally just was St. Clement, right?
Well, Church of St. Clement, yeah. Well, it was, you know, for years and years it's called St. Clement's Episcopal Church.
Right.
Now it's called the Church of St. Clement.
And we'll talk in the second hour about how that change occurred between one group and another. Other history that you want to let us know, what would that be? You've got something down here called Faith Alive.
Can I jump in just for a minute? And I'm back as Karen Hoover.
Okay, Karen, please. Tell us.
So let me say that St. Clement's Church has had 16 rectors, which is a lot. And so I'll give you some of my favorites in a moment or two.
Those are preachers
but
to me.
The other thing would be that the little church, the little adobe church, we stayed at about 12 years from 1870 to 1882. And then the church on Mesa, we were there for 26 years. And then 112 years at the present location on North Campbell.
Now, rector is the guy running the church, or who? What's that title mean?
What do you mean?
What's the title?
Rector. Head pastor.
Thank
head
you.
Pastor.
See, I'm not within your
rector
church. I don't understand what rector means. As a kid, I had an erector set, but that wasn't what you're talking about.
No, not quite. Same.
So you got to get through my density, and thank you for doing so. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay, so that's the scenario, and so the church reached out to the community at various points in the history of the country and El Paso. You know, especially one of my favorite rectors is Henry Easter, and so he got and Reverend Cobb will give you a lot more information that's more interesting on him later. But Reverend Easter actually got on a bicycle and wandered around El Paso looking for the 96 saloons, the 600 professional gamblers, and the 367 prostitutes that were in the city at that time. And then he made an outreach to the community based on feeling that the town was, quote, quite beyond endurance.
What year was that?
In this situation.
What year would that have been?
So he sent out flyers to all the hotels about, you know,
Karen,
come to church.
What year would that have been?
You know, made an outreach with citizens of the city to try to slow the lawlessness that was going on.
Karen, so, what? Karen, hello, Karen. Yes.
Yeah.
What year would that have been?
Okay, that we're talking about 1903 to 1917.
Now, I want to know how the guy knew there were 367 prostitutes.
Well, we don't know. He was on his bicycle.
He went out and counted each individual.
That's why I'm asking. How did he know?
It was a bike tour of lawlessness around El Paso.
Well, that's just the point. El Paso, when the trains hit the fan here in 1881, things changed dramatically. Yes. The gamblers came in. The women of ill repute came in. All kinds of stuff came in that really wasn't exactly what people of say, a church-going crowd would want to do. The women's club showed up, and they became an event, basically, Melissa, 1894?
Well,
somewhere back in there?
Yeah, somewhere. It started off as a different type of group. But they gathered, and they basically, what they said is that the men may have you know, tamed the town, but they civilized.
They civilized
the women's club.
And
yes.
So that's what this rector
well,
was doing, Karen,
we
as well.
A little civilizing.
Well, yeah.
So another interesting thing is, do you know we have a big Lebanese community at St. Clement?
Oh, good. Tell us about it.
Yeah, and Maynard Haddad, you may know him with H&H Car Wash. You know, kind of a focal point for us for friendships, and they're just extremely hospitable individuals. And we've just, the church has been graced with them since the 1920s, because they had no Orthodox church for them to go to, that the Syrians and Lebanese were used to going to in their own countries. So they kind of grabbed.
Could I dive in at this moment?
I'll tell you what,
I grew up at St. Clement's. I've been a member since 1955.
Oh wow.
And I went to Sunday school with people like Kenny Farah and Gus Haddad. And I thought it was normal that all Episcopal churches were full of Lebanese and Syrians.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I went to another town and I went to the Episcopal church, there were no Lebanese and Syrians. I thought, well, what's going on here? There has to be Lebanese and Syrians.
They got rid of them. Look out.
Episcopal Church.
I tell you what, Reverend, let's pick that up right after the break. We've got to take one more break here.
Yeah.
And we're talking to people at St. Clement's Church. It is the Church of St. Clement now on Montana Avenue. And it's 150 years old, I think, this week. And the ninth yesterday.
Yeah.
And you guys are celebrating the history in a fine fashion by giving us historic stuff and presentations. And we got, just as a question, Karen, after the hour, we're going to be joined by an ancestor of an Anglican martyr. Is that right?
Yes, Father.
I'm already here.
Oh, yeah, that's you. Okay.
Yeah.
But also,
that ancestry.
But there, and Reverend Easter, that's what I'm asking about.
Okay.
He'll be the Reverend Easter will be with us.
What was your question?
Will the Reverend Easter will he be with us in the second hour is my question.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Father Cobb will probably be speaking a bit about him.
Okay. We'll get to that in a minute.
He represented him.
That's Karen Hoover you're listening to there, along with the John Dixon, the Reverend. And we're going to come back in a minute. We did take a phone call. We'd like it to be on topic, if you could, today. The topic is the history of St. Clement Church. And that number would, again, the email, ephistory690@gmail.com. The phone number, what the heck?
Is 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Visit Mission Del Rey. Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Now more than ever, nothing is more important than your health. For more than 30 years, Wellman has been here for you, providing safe, convenient access to compassionate care, developing new and innovative ways to connect with our communities. Wellman Cares. Our mission is to help you be well and stay well. The Medicare annual enrollment period is from October 15 through December 7. Remember to choose a health plan that puts you with a WellMed doctor. Visit WellMedFindADoctor.com.
Well, I'm 67 years old. I lost 71 pounds. I was a size 46 pants 2 years ago, and I've been taking it, and I'm a size 36 pants now.
Congratulations, Pat, on losing 71 pounds and 10 inches off your waistline. Now listen to Brian's results.
My sleeping is better. My joint pains are much better, and the weight loss is coming along. I'm about 13 to 14 pounds lighter. It has reduced my sugar cravings big time. Sugar cravings and reduced joint pains, and those two are big time.
Outstanding results, Brian. Guys, since 2004, men have chosen Andro 400 for one reason. Results. Andro 400 can help you safely lose belly fat, reduce joint pain, gain energy, and boost your testosterone. We guarantee it. Start today and get free shipping on any order. Go to Andro400.com for more true testimonials, before and after photos, and special discounts. Only available on Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
If finding a high-impact hire is a serious goal for your business, use Indeed. Their flexible payment options mean better bang for your buck with no long-term contracts. Indeed will even give you a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post at Indeed.com/high-impact. Terms and conditions apply.
Facebook knows that voting this year is a little trickier than usual, and you may have questions like how to register, vote by mail, and how to safely vote in person. That's why Facebook created the Voting Information Center. Get information from election authorities and experts at facebook.com/votinginfocenter. And don't miss the new podcast from iHeartRadio and Facebook called Why I'm Voting, where you'll hear more reasons to vote. iHeartRadio's Why I'm Voting, countdown to Election Day. Your vote is your voice.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, coming up this Halloween weekend, that would be October 30, Friday night, October 31st, Halloween, and November 1st, Sunday night, we are going to have drive-in screenings of Ghost Stories of El Paso.
Trick-or-treat, huh?
It's going to be an interest. Instead of trick-or-treat around
That's
town,
right.
Mostly, El Paso County invites the public to drive-in screenings of two Ghost Stories of El Paso programs on Halloween weekend at Ascarity Park. Health and safety protocols will be followed. El Paso Ghost Stories of El Paso Volume 2 and Volume 4 will be shown at 6:30 p.m. on Friday night, October 30th, and Sunday night, November 1st, at the park, 6900 Delta. The Halloween night screening then on October 31st, that time, will begin at 7:30. Two programs, each running about an hour, shown at no charge. It's a $2 charge to get into the park, and they are on, again, 6:30 on Friday night, October 30, 7:30 on Saturday night, 6:30 on Sunday night. And we'll tell you more as time goes on what's in these programs. But it's basically Diana Calamy, a Lady D psychic person. I walked around with El Paso with her. And goes to, oh, my God, we went to all kinds of interesting places. Monteleone's Restaurant, which is haunted, a haunted building on Fort Bliss, a mine shaft in the Franklin Mountains. And Lady D talks with spirits in San Elizario. Ghost Stories Volume 4 is all about touring a Sarco before they took it down. At night. It's a cold old place. It wasn't running, but we got in there. Oh my goodness. What do you got?
Well, I want to talk about Halloween, too. October's 2020 programming for the MacGuffin Home is, they've got on October 14th at 12 p.m., their Brain Trust brown bag lunch will be covering a topic of Halloween and Dia de los Muertos. And then October 15th, which is a Thursday, they will be making scented oils. Ooh. And so what you can do is find out about all their programming by going to visit MacGuffinHome.com and Facebook page also. So, or give them a call at 533-5147.
All right, we got the crowd in here from St. Clement's Church talking about the history. We got about a minute each for Karen Hoover and John Dixon. John, you're coming back next hour, and you'll be back next hour with the Reverend Easter. So, Karen, wrap this up for a minute, if you would.
Okay, well, I just need to say one more thing about a woman. Now, we've been talking about guys who are rectors. This woman's name is Elizabeth Johnston Davis Livesey. And so she actually broke ground on the new building in 1906, and she was a church builder. She had 8 children, and so she was from Louisiana, came to La Mesa, New Mexico, and then came down to El Paso with her husband, and broke ground in 1906. A wonderful woman, and so my husband's great grandmother. And Louisiana Hoover was Rob's grandmother.
Okay.
Anyway, a wonderful woman.
Excellent. Thank you for being here.
Guys.
And thank you for your hour here, Karen. You're going to drop
thank
off. We're going to put another pastor on next hour. But we got a couple.
Delighted to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your history.
Thank you for doing it. And yes, good to talk to you. And Reverend, we're going to come back with you. And also, next hour we have David Etzel going to come in by recording. And so we'll have Bill Cobb, John Dixon, and that's Karen dumping off there. Bye, Karen.
Ah.
There you go. Okay, really, Karen's gone. But we got how much time we have left, Andrew? About a half minute, give or take. All right, John Dixon, we got about a half minute left here. What have we missed on this hour that you're going to tell us next hour? Talk about the history of the Anglican and the Episcopal nature of this church.
Well, I'm a descendant of the Anglican martyr. It was the Reverend John Rogers, who was a married priest in the 16th century under the Catholic Queen Mary Tudor, also known as Bloody Mary because of all the people she burned at the stake.
Oh, my.
Whoops.
And John Rogers was burned at the stake for two reasons. One, he helped William Tyndale finish his translation of the Bible into English so the ordinary people of Great Britain could read the Bible in their own language. And also because he was a married priest, and he was burned alive at Smithfield in front of his wife and his 10 children.
Oh, jeez.
And he is one of my ancestors.
Oh, goodness.
He was Scottish.
So you're descended from one of those 10 children?
Apparently from my mother's side, yes.
Okay. Well, don't get too near the barbecue. You sound like you're not going to be good at that.
Yeah,
you don't
know.
Like that joke, huh? Melissa just fell off the table.
I just left the room. Well, I don't want to get hit by a bolt of lightning.
But here's the point. We're talking about the Church of St. Clement, and we'll be back next hour with you, John, and also the Reverend Cobb. And we'll talk more about this. Reverend Cobb, when he calls up, he has to let us know if he's the Reverend Cobb or is he the Reverend Easter.
Ah.
And let us know about that.
He has a dual personality.
We'll see both of you next hour right after the news. Thank you all.
Thanks.
See you then.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita, and by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.